I'm just going to sit in here tonight where it's cool. Y'all just listen up now as I read you a little story. Let's get our Bibles open. We're going to open to three places of Scripture here tonight. And I'm going to talk, just give us a little Bible study tonight. I'm not going to preach, just a little short Bible study. And then everybody's going on the trip, we need to have a short meeting. Don't forget now, Saturday morning, come and go visiting. We need your help. I know you'll be blessed. 9:30 Saturday morning, our bus meeting. We need to visit bus kids and mamas and daddies. A week from Sunday's Father's Day. We're planning something special for them then. And we are also planning a big day for July the 3rd. That's our church anniversary. Our 11th anniversary will be the 3rd of July. And so if you're going off on vacation, don't leave till after that Sunday morning service. We're going to have some surprises and some good stuff going on. So keep that in mind. First Sunday in July. It's going to be here in 3 weeks. Now, this evening, I want you to take your Bible and open to Genesis. Genesis chapter 5. And let me show you something here this evening. Here in the Bible, Genesis chapter number 5. And I'm going to look at two more verses bring you the lesson tonight. Genesis chapter 5, and I'm going to look at one in Genesis chapter 6. There were two men here, Enoch and Noah, that the Bible made a statement about that was made about no other men that I know of. Genesis 5 and Genesis 6. Look at Genesis 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. He was a was not. You know, they sing a song about astronauts and cosmonauts. Enoch was a was not. He just disappeared. God took him. But the thing I want you to notice is, Bible said Enoch walked with God. Now look at chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 9. Noah was as a man talking about here. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Neither one of these men had a Bible. Neither one of them had a church to go to that we know of. They had an altar built somewhere where they prayed. And these men, the Bible said, walked with God. Now I want us to do a little study on that tonight. And I want you to look at one more verse, Micah. Micah is way over near the end of the Old Testament before you get to the New. And boy, if you missed that service Sunday morning what's her name? Foresters. Lordy Mustard. Wasn't that something? That is one talented guy, ain't he? He was talking about some stuff and how that the Lord had led them and everything. And let's talk about this. Micah, the book of Micah. And look at Micah chapter 6. It's one of those little books way over yonder toward the end of the Old Testament, and look at Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8. Micah 6 and verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? We're at Micah 6, 8. I'll wait just another minute on you if you can't find it. Near the end of the Old Testament. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, if this thing's mentioned three times in the Bible, they've got to be something to it. There's a reason he says three times about somebody walking with God. Now, you can't see God, but what if he's up here on this platform with me tonight and he's just walking over here and I was walking beside him. And he walked over here and I walked beside him. And the Lord walked over this way and I walked beside him. And he walked down here and I walk beside him. I'm just walking with God. Walking with God. Now, somebody help me finish this verse. Can two walk together except they be what? Agree. The only way you can walk with God is agree with God. You have to agree with everything he said. You cannot disagree with him and walk with him. Two people don't walk together who disagree with each other. I mean, that's true in everything. You know, you get somebody around that you totally disagree with everything they believe and they disagree with that. You ain't going to have no common ground. And it's one thing that makes me worry about a lot of Christians that are so comfortable with crazy nuts and people out there that are wicked and uncomfortable around Christian people. There's something wrong with your spirit. You ought to feel comfortable in here tonight around God's people and uncomfortable out in the world. If you feel comfortable out there and uncomfortable in here, you got something backwards. So tonight, let's talk about this just for a few minutes. And I'm not going to preach, so you can ask questions or interrupt me or correct me or whatever you want to do. I'm walking with God. All right, God, wherever you go, I go. He turned. I'm going this way. He went over here. I'm not leading him around. He's leading me around. I don't tell him where we're going. He tells me where we're going. I don't make the decisions. He makes the decisions. I'm not in charge. He's in charge. You ever seen these people got these... got these bumper stickers and stuff that says, God is my co-pilot? Well, I'll tell you, that puts you in a big spot, big boy. If God's your co-pilot, you need to swap places and let him be the pilot. And you get in the passenger seat. You don't say, well, I'm a pilot and he's my co-pilot. No, he ain't. He's the pilot. He's driving. I'm the passenger. If he lets us drive, you know what we're going to do, don't you? Hit the ditch. I guarantee you. It's like that fella, that one talking about Lot. He said, remember Lot's wife? She looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. And a little kid raised his hand and said, that ain't nothing. My mama looked back and turned into a telephone pole. And that's what happened when we drive. When we drive, we turn into a telephone pole. But the Bible said that Noah and Enoch walked with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. My roots are from the mountains. My mom's from Spruce Pine. There's some old saints of God up in Spruce Pine. And my daddy is from 10 times worse mountains than Spruce Pine, West Virginia. And I'm telling you, mountain. And there's something about a lot of them old mountain people, they knew what it was to walk with God. They did, and they still do. A lot of them, not all of them. Some of them ain't. Some of them just mean as a snake. But some of those mountain people walked with God. I mean, holy people. And I got a little bit of that in me, and I'm glad I do. I'm God conscious. Always have been. Even before I got saved, I knew that God was there, and he was watching every move I make. I didn't even know him, but I knew he was around. And then after I got saved, it never leaves my mind. Since I've been saved, I'm always thinking, well, he's there and the Lord's here and what am I going to do about this? And what? I don't understand people that don't even think about God till it gets Sunday. I mean, there's something bad wrong with the person that don't think, that don't even think, oh, well, it's Sunday. Well, I guess I better go to church and worship God. Well, if you didn't even think about him Saturday, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, and Tuesday, you ain't going to do much worshiping on Sunday. Now, some of them old mountain people walked with God. When I think of somebody walking with God, Who do you think of when you think somebody walked God? I think of somebody like Miss Kerr. Just a godly woman. She's a godly woman. She lives in the Spirit and walking. I'm not saying she's perfect, but I'm telling you, I've known that woman 20-something years, and I've never known her yet. When she talks, it's Bible and something scriptural and something about the Lord. In my opinion, she's one of the greatest saints of God I know of. I'm not elevating her too high. I know she's got sin and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just saying, I believe she walks with God. And I know other people. I just said her. There's other people that I believe walk with God. And boy, wouldn't it be something if everybody in here tonight, and especially you young people, and moms and daddies, said, you know what? I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to just walk with God. I'm not going to go out here and act stupid all week long and be like an idiot, and you can't even tell me from the rest of the world, and then come in here in church and sit like I'm about to die on Sunday. That's the way most young people come to church and they sit there like, I'm being tortured by being here. That's one thing I enjoy about our young people here. You know why they're sitting up here? Because they want to. They ain't a one of y'all being made to sit up here, are they? Are they? Amen. You're sitting up here because you want to. That's good. You need to be closer than this. You need to sit right there. And when I give them things, just fall in the altar, every one of you, and get the devil out of you. But we need to walk with God. Now, I want to say a few things about it this evening, and I won't get all of it, I'm sure. But God, in our day and time, he don't look at goats and rams and bullocks and sheep as a sacrifice. He looks at how we just humbly walk with him. Humbly walk with him. And my pastor, a long time ago, I said, how do you be led by the Lord all day long? Do you have to pray about every decision? And he told me, he said, no. He said, you get up every morning and you commit yourself to the Lord for that day and say, Lord, I'm in your hands today. And then you just go live your life and do the best you can and trust God that you're being led. And you pray. And that really helped me because I was driving myself crazy saying, well, I go to a red light. Do I turn left or right? Oh, Lord, please, I don't know what to do. Oh, please, what color shoes should I put on? Lord, please. You don't have to individually pray about every little decision if you've committed yourself to him that morning to lead you and guide you. You say, well, how do you know if you do something wrong? You know if you do something wrong. I guarantee you. I've heard people say, well, I just don't know if I'm doing wrong or not. I've never had that problem. I know when I'm doing wrong. Don't you? I know when I'm doing wrong. I don't have to ask nobody, is this wrong? Man, there's something in there that says, no, 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 no. It's like something square trying to spin around in something round. And you got a round on it here, and your conscience has got these little corners on it. And it goes, bing, 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 bing. It just sticks you. Like that's what the Holy Ghost told Paul, hard to kick against the prick. Have like briars. And so it's an important walk. Walking with God is important. It's important to live before others. The people who know you and know me, they expect us to walk with God. You go to church, you go in there and you tell them, I go to Shining Light Baptist Church, Danny Castle's my pastor, all right, they're going to watch you. And they expect you to walk with God. Now, they may not, but they expect you to. Ain't that right? That's not fair, but that's just the way it is. Boy, if you think y'all got it rough, try to tell them you're a preacher. If you tell them you're a preacher, they watch every move. Lord have mercy. You talk about high standards. They've been talking about this old congressman dude that's in trouble this weekend. That's the awfulest thing I've heard in a long time. That congressman, some of y'all have heard about this on the news, and he's in a lot of trouble and sending a bunch of wicked pictures to women and stuff like that all over the country. And what'd you say? Yeah, that's right. He's an idiot. And he's in a lot of trouble. And old Dr. Drew, what an idiot Dr. Drew. He's led by the devil, old Dr. Drew is. And he come on there last night and he said, now listen, he's a human being and we should be easy on him and not vilify him too much because nobody's perfect. And I thought, I bet you wouldn't be saying that if as a preacher had done that. I guarantee you wouldn't be saying that as a preacher. So when you say you're a Christian, the world puts high. Yeah, you know the world, they don't claim to believe the Bible or nothing, but they know when you're doing wrong, don't they? They can pick it up just like that. Oh, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. And they can spot it. The wickedest sinner you work with can point out one thing you do. I mean, if you tell that big of a lie, they'll spot it. If you do anything, we was playing ball. We play ball on Tuesday night. We're ended now. We was playing last night, and we don't get to play no more till school starts because we just play on Tuesday night at East Junior High in Marion, and just a bunch of. Guys, men, we played last night. We run 2 solid hours, and it was 900 degrees in that gym. Lord, I think I lost 4 pounds last night and gained it back by 12 last night. Drunk 3 Pepsis and 2 things of water. Anyway, I don't drink that many Pepsis usually, but you lose something running that much that you better drink something, sugar or something. I don't know. But anyway, it puts it back in you. I didn't have no Gatorade. We run last night. And somebody said, what score? And I said, 16-4, something like 16-12. And this guy looked at me and he said, there's not 14. I thought it really was 16. He said, you're always trying to add to the score. And he was looking at me like, you're a preacher and cheating us. Now look, here's the way it goes. I wasn't sure what the score was. I knew we had 14, and I thought we scored nothing. I said, 16. I ain't going to say 12, for heaven's sake. If I ain't sure, I sure ain't going to say 12. If I'm going to cheat, it's going to be for our side. But I wasn't cheating. I thought, 16. No, it ain't. It's always trying to add to the score. I wasn't trying to add to the score. There ain't enough money in McDowell County to make me deliberately lie about that score. They didn't have enough money, every one of them put together, to make me deliberately lie about that score. I thought we might have had 16. I really did. I thought we scored one more time in Denton County. But I'm just saying, they're watching every move we make. You talk about scrutinized, brother. Holy, claim to be a preacher. And adding to the score. And if it had been one of the other guys, you know, they probably would have let it go. One time I said, we was up there playing ball, and the ball went out or something like that, and I said, it's out of bounds. I didn't touch it. They said, oh, yes, you did. I said, I didn't touch it. They said, yeah, you're a preacher, and you're supposed to tell the truth. I said, bless God, I am telling the truth. I didn't touch it. I don't lie about touching it. Sometimes I've just let it go and not said nothing. But if they say, did you touch it? I'm going to say, no, I didn't. And what I'm saying is, they put some high standards on us. And they're watching you. You claim to be a Christian, they're watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. If they hear that, jungle funk coming out of your living room, and it's boom, 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 boom. And even though they don't think it's wrong, they say, what's he doing listening to that? They do. They do. They sure do. Son, they don't even claim to live right and don't believe it's wrong, but you do it. They suddenly believe it's wrong. Go ahead. Absolutely. That's right. And that's right. And if you ever do mess up, be man enough to apologize and make it right. Say, look, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian. I had no business acting like that. I lost my temper. I said, be man enough to apologize. Then they can't say nothing. If you just say, well, I'm just going to let it go. They'll tell, I heard him cuss, and I heard him. If you lose your temper, if you do something like that, be a man enough or a woman enough to go in the plant the next day and say, look, I didn't act like a Christian yesterday, and I'm sorry, and I've asked God to forgive me, and I want you to forgive me, and now stick it in your ear. No, I just say, hey, I've done the best I could, and I'm sorry. Anybody else, right quick? Has anybody ever had an experience like that at work? Dumb question, huh? Dumb question. Have you ever lost your cool at work, said something you shouldn't have said, and God convicted you, and you had to go apologize? Or sure, well, I have. I've got. I don't usually get that mad playing ball, but sometimes I trash talk, and I think that's part of the ball game. Can't take a little trash talk. Go home, you sissy. I remember one time we was playing ball, and I kept hitting the wind, and I was running my mouth like I was the commentator, and there's some boys getting mad, and I was just cutting up. Boy, they was getting mad, and I was just acting silly, you know. Castle, over, it's good, you know, like that. And they were getting madder and madder. And the next church service we had, the school administrator came to me and he said, Brother Danny, I'm sorry, I had a bad attitude playing ball. And I said, man, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean nothing by it. But sometimes you got to watch your testimony, your behavior. And if you blow it, be a man enough to stand up and get it right. Confess it. And then they can't say nothing. So I'm walking with God. I'm going on walking with God. Anybody else want to give us an illustration of that right quick? Brother Ray, you're awful quiet over there. He's under conviction. Anybody? Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. I mean, where do you step in? Sometimes Sometimes, have you been around somebody and they just talking, cussing every other word, and it's like something inside says, are you going to let them just talk like that? Are you going to say anything? And you think, well, it's none of my business. I don't want to be a smart aleck. I don't want to be holier than thou. And then something says, well, you're going to stand up for the Lord. How many of you have ever been put in a position like that where you thought, well, should I say something or should I not say something? And that's another thing with playing ball. Sometimes them boys will say, blank this and blank that. And if I'm on their turf, I don't have a right to tell them what they can say and what they can't say. If we're out here in the back of the church playing, I can say, shut up, you're on our property, you ain't going to talk like that in this property. But if I'm up there, I don't have a right. But they don't have a right to tell me I can't say, well, the Lord's good, and praise the Lord, you know, and that's how you can combat it. And just say, boy, it's good to be saved. Y'all go to church yesterday? That'll shut that stuff up. You want to say something, brother? Yeah.
And one of the fellows, he just tore up the Lord's name every sentence, you know. The pastor was out there and you know, going over the job. And he said, Jay, I've got to leave. He said, I just can't stand here and listen to this kind of talk. So he left. And I walked over to the guy and I said, you're working for a pastor. And I said, he had to leave because of your mouth. And I said,
man, he didn't cuss no more. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's what usually happens. Without being a smart aleck, just say, "Hey, I don't appreciate that." You know, and that happened. I bought a lawnmower from a guy. I told y'all about him. I'm telling you, it's ever other. I mean, blank this, blank, and it just can't make my skin crawl. I mean, you know, you're used to hearing somebody cuss a little bit, but I mean, just ever other word. And bad, bad, bad. And I thought, oh, I cannot stand it. I wanted to take a pipe and hit him upside the head with it. That's what I wanted to do. And because you know, like a horse or something, just knock him like a mule. And he just kept on and on and on. And I said, did you go to church Sunday? And he looked at me and said, no. I said, well, he should, Lord. And, buddy, he got away from me. We never said another word. Oh, my goodness. It looked like I'd hit him upside the head with a pie. I had this friend of mine, old Kenneth Angel. He's a preacher from up in Spruce Pine. And he got him a job working construction up there in Spruce Pine. And I'm not making fun of him, but Kenneth couldn't talk plain. And we went street preaching every Saturday. And he would preach, and he really, really had a bad speech impediment. He was sitting there and goes, that's the way he preached. Like, you couldn't understand a word he said, but you could feel it, you know. I thought, hey, man, brother, that's right. I have no idea what he said. He goes, he got him a job working up there in the mountains. He sounded like Hitler giving one of them speeches. You ever heard of Hitler on them old film? It's exactly what he sounded like. And he got him a job working up there. And I mean, he wasn't ashamed of the Lord, buddy. He got out there the first day, and all them old rednecks out there, they had their cigarettes rolled up here in their sleeve, you know, and they'd smoke a joint while it was on break, you know, drink a beer or something like that. Old Kenneth got out there, opened his lunch box, and said, go and pray. They said, what? He said, go and pray. They said, what? He said, well, go and pray. And then he took his helmet off. He got down, he said, oh God, Holy Ghost. And then, I mean, he cut loose to praying the fire down about 5 minutes. He didn't do like some of y'all do at lunch, just sort of scratch your eyebrows on the way back there, you know, to sit down. He didn't do any of my eyebrow scratching prayers like some of y'all because you're scared they're going to look at you at the lunch table. You know, all Jesus did die for you on the cross, and you're scared to death somebody's going to see you talking to him. You are something else. That's what you are. Here, sit down like this. You know, Lord, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, and you're scared somebody going to think you're a fanatic or something. Son, he got down and prayed. And I'm telling you what, they said in a few weeks, every day, he'd take that hat off and kneel down. And every one of them guys just take their hat off and bail their head. He put the pressure on them. I mean, he put the pressure on them. He walked with God. Who had their hand raised? Somebody have their hand raised a minute ago? Oh.
Somebody cussing around her, she said, you better stop that. And I
Squishy did that? Amen. Amen. Y'all, we got a fine bunch of young'uns coming up here in a few years. All them back there, some of them kids are, they're getting it, buddy. They're getting it. You ought to go back and watch that Friday night youth rally service. It happened so fast to me, and I was gone. My head was gone. I didn't get to enjoy it. But I watched it last night on video. Man, those kids were a blessing. I liked their parts. I mean, the first three words in the Bible. I love that part. That's my favorite one. In the beginning. But I mean, it was good. It was good. Old Micah had them, said all them. Yeah, get that thing on Friday night and watch it. But anyway, they expect and deserve to see us live right. They expect it and they deserve it. We couldn't say, well, you ain't have no right to expect. They do have a right to expect us to do right. We claim to be a Christian. They have a right to see us try to live right. I mean, somebody said, well, they don't have no right to expect that. They sure do, too. They deserve to see us do right. Pray. If they see you pulling shady deals and lying at work to get money or something like that, they're not going to think, well, there's a person that walks with God. Make sure you're honest. Just, it ain't worth getting a little extra money of ruining your testimony. He's able to give you more money if you'll do right. He'll make it up to you. Anybody else? Right quick.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
She will not cuss in front of me
now. Amen.
But she told me tonight, she said, please pray for me, and I'm
going to
pray for her.
Amen.
I'm not
going to
stop until I get her in church.
Amen. Now, you can do that in a nice way and be a gentleman or a gentle lady. Whatever. What do you call a gentle lady? Gentlewoman. Gentle. Yeah.
So we had two girls. I mean, they were really at each other's throats. One of them was ready to quit.
Yeah.
So I just got up. I walked up there and I laid a track on each one of them's shoes. And they both sat there and read them, got up and apologized to each other, and never had another paper.
What about that? You're the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth, y'all. Salt draws that poison out of people. That's what it does to meat. It purifies it and keeps it from poisoning. Y'all, the salt of the earth, he sprinkled you around. He sprinkled y'all around in these schools and stuff. All the salt ain't in the same place. It's sprinkled around over the whole meal. Anybody else? Another reason we ought to walk with God, and I'm going to say this and I'm through because our time's about gone. We're going to have a meeting here, is that to get our prayers answered. You can't just live any old way and expect God to answer your prayers. I'm not saying our works justifies us. Not saying that at all. But the way to get your prayers answered is try to walk with God and please Him. Do the best you can to please Him. Lord, I want to walk with you. It's unheard of now to see a teenager walking with God. It's just, you hardly ever hear of it. They're in and out and up and down and partying on Friday night and church on Sunday morning. It's just unusual. It's rare. And the reason it's so rare, because the devil knows how much God can use a teenager who will surrender their life to Him. So you get your prayers answered. Sometimes we just promise God all kind of stuff. You know, God, if you'll, please, God, don't let me get in trouble. And please, Lord, don't let Mama find out. And please, God, don't let me be pregnant. And God, don't let the cops find me. And don't let me. People pray that all the time. And then as soon as God answers a prayer, just forget Him and don't even pray. That is not walking with God. That is not walking with God. Walking with God is something. Every morning we're going to get up and say, Lord, What do you want me to do today? And lead me and guide me. I'm committing myself to you. And if you mess up, God, I'm sorry. And I mean, work at it. Work at it. You say, well, that's too much trouble. I mean, it beats going to hell, don't it? You're not going to hell. Quit griping. Amen? I've heard teenagers, and I say, well, how come we can't dress like this? And why do we have to wear dresses? And why do we have to wear, and why do we, listen, quit your griping. We're not, God's not asking a whole lot of you. He's not. Compared to what he's done for us, we ain't done nothing for him. Somebody else want to say something? I'm going to stop. We'll do this next Wednesday night. We're going to talk more about walking with God. Every one of us, let's make up our mind tonight and that we'll walk with God, okay? Let's just say, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. You might say, well, that's a joke, Brother Danny. I'm the sorriest Christian in the world. That don't matter. Sorriest Christian in the world can walk with God. Can walk with God. It don't cost you nothing except this old world to walk with God. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer tonight. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. She's playing softly. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I wonder tonight, somebody here this evening.